Okay, everybody, good morning. We are learning Masechet Sukkah, Daf Daled, sponsored, Masechet Sukkah, sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Encouraging everybody, shake things up a bit this tax season. Also, breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, in honor of Jaime's granddaughter, as usual. Okay, two lines up from the bottom. Referring to the din that we know from the mission, we spent a couple of dafim so far talking about a sukkah gavo. If the sukkah is too high, and high meaning that the schaf is too high over the ground, 20 amos high is too high. So that's what we are about to discuss again. Just to be aware, a sukkah, the structure of the sukkah needs to have a few components. The main component of the sukkah is the schach, as Rashi said on right, the first two lines or so. Al shem haschach, kriya sukkah. But there are also additional components. You need to have the defanos, and you need to have a floor. So some of what we're going to be talking about today relates to those things also. So it says here, Haisa gavoa me esrim ama uba le ma'ata bekar mukasasos. How do you address the problem of the schach being too high? The most direct solution would be to lower the schach. But that's not the only way you could address the problem. You could also raise the floor. So either one way or the other, if you essentially get the schach to come down, either by lowering the schach or raising the floor, that would be okay. So how do you raise the floor? So it says here, Uba lima'ata bekarim ukisasos. What happens if I throw cushions on the ground, enough cushions to build up a floor, so that now when I'm on it or I'm sleeping on it or whatever, I'm within 20 amos of the top. Is that going to be a kashra sukkah? So it says here, low heavy miyut, that's not going to count because I need the floor to be, it's not enough for me to just be suspended up in the air on cushions and on a couch and or whatever, like on the bed, that's not good enough. In other words, if we measured from the top of the bed to the schach, I'm under 20, that's not kosher. It has to be that the floor to the top. That's what it's saying over here. Lo havi miyot, that's not going to count. And now we're on Dalet Amud Aleph. V'yafal gav debat lino lekulu mishum. And even if I plan to leave it there for the whole time, so the whole time is a question. Rashi's pshat is l'chol shiva. What if I leave it there the whole sukkahs? What if I'm planning on leaving these cushions there for the whole sukkah? It's easier to pull this off in Eretz Yisrael where you can depend that there's not going to be rain. You're going to mostly depend that there's not going to be rain. And so you're planning on leaving these cushions there. So why is that going to matter? Possibly by saying, look, if I'm planning on leaving the cushions there on the ground, so that's part of the ground now. Now that's the ground. It's not cushions on the ground. Now I've made that into the ground. So maybe that should work. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't work. Mishum debat ladaita eitzel kol adam, because that's not how people generally relate to their cushions. They generally don't consider the cushions to be part of the ground, and even if you do for your purposes, we ignore you. But if it's the kind of a thing that people might, such as, for example, the next line, what if it's teven? What if, let's say, I'm using teven? That's the grain, the straw, and I have a lot of that stuff, and I throw that all over the floor, and it can somehow or other build up enough height. Then, in that case, ubitlo, if I mevatel, and Rashi emphasizes this the way he learns the whole sugya here. If I declare that I'm leaving this here for the whole time, meaning the whole sukkahs, then havi miyut, then that'll work. Meaning it'll work in what way? That I'll measure the ground from the top of that, and if the schach is within 20 amos of that, then that's kosher. The kolshkein afar, ubitlo. And certainly if I throw afar or other actually ground material there, ubitlo, planning to leave it there, that'll work to raise the ground level. Now, Megmar. No, we're going to discuss that it doesn't have to be the entire sukkah. That's going to be, you know, some of the diagrams you can see on the page talk about partial floor raises. So we'll see how that works. But it's just to say, it just means that at least with respect to the space that it is on, will you be able to measure the ground level from the top of that space? So that's what it's saying over here, is that if bitlo, and if it's something that is either typically or occasionally used as ground material. So it says here, teven ve'ein, what happens if teven ve'ein asid lifnoso? So what happens if I use the teven? We said the teven, which is the straw, that teven, we said that is effective at raising the ground level as long as bitlo. What happens if it's not bitlo, it's just the kind of an intermediate condition where ein asid lifnoso, where I don't plan to remove it, but I haven't actually explicitly declared it that way. Or if it's afar, or if I threw the dirt there stam without having any particular intention, simply the fact that I've just shoveled dirt into the sukkah and I kind of patted it down to be a floor that also wasn't bitlo, then it says over here, machlokes Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbanan. In those two cases, that'll be a machlokes Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbanan. This not. Okay, because we have a Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? In Ahalos. What's the relevance? Well, the halacha has to do with Tumas Ohel. The rule of Tumas Ohel is that if I have a mace or a kezayis baser min a mace, Rashi says, in a room, then the halacha is that the tumah would spread throughout the ohel. What's an ohel? It means it goes up to the ceiling, and the ceiling transmits the tumah to the sides. And what happens if it can't go up to the ceiling because I've buried it? So if I bury the tumah, then the tumah is not confined by its own ceiling. It'll go straight through. But if I have a gap of a tefach, so then the gap of the tefach will allow the tumah to rise a bit and then hit a ceiling and then be confined. That's the concept. The concept is that you can confine the tumah if there is a gap, and then the ceiling can would spread it, but also confine it, the tumah. But if there's no gap, then the tumah essentially kind of is, in a certain sense, it's crushed, and so the tumah can penetrate and go all the way up through the solid ground. That's the concept. And so what happens over here, if let's say I have the tumah is in the room and I've smothered it in, I don't know, cushions, let's say. So cushions don't count. That's not the structure. That's not the yohel. So that's not going to smother the tumah. So the tumah will be able to be confined. It'll go through that and then be confined by the top of the room. For example, if I have cushions all the way up to the ceilings, then the cushions are ignored, but then the ceiling will actually confine the tumah. That's the way this Mishnah is saying. What happens if it's not cushions, but if it's teven? So that's our Mishnah. So the Mishnah, it says this now. Bayis shemilehu teven otsuroros ubitlo. What happens if I have a room and there's a mace or a kezayis baser and a mace in the room, and I threw teven and I filled it up to the ceiling, otsuroros, or pebbles or rocks or dirt, essentially ubitlo. And you planned on leaving it there. Now, when it comes to mace, leaving it there for what? It's not like there's only a window of relevance for the tumah. It's like indefinitely. So then, mevutal. So then, it will be batel. The implications of being batel are that then having no gap of a tefach for the tumah to be confined in, it'll penetrate through and it'll break out. And you'll have the tumah running straight up. But if lo, im lo bit lo, lo. Okay, but if you didn't, in other words, if you plan on leaving it there, but you're going to take it out as needed, so then lo. So then it doesn't count as the dirt, and it doesn't crush the tumah, and the tumah therefore can be confined by the roof of the room. B'taniyala, but the Braisa adds to that Mishnah that while it's presented kind of anonymously in the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yossi argues. Rabbi Yossi Amar Tevin ve'en asid lifnoso harei hu ke'afar. If you threw Tevin into the room and filled it, as long as you just don't plan on removing it without explicitly being mevatel it, that is sufficient to count as a part of the structure, or that'll be like afar stam, afar stam. Harehu ke afar stam ubatel. In other words, he considers both factors, that if you threw afar in, then even without any specific kavana, that'll count as part of the structure. And tevin, which is sometimes used as building material, then if you planned on leaving it there, but you weren't explicitly mevatel it there, then that'll also count as part of the structure.
David, this whole idea like with the Tevin and the Afar, is this happening before Sukkot or actually could potentially even happen during Sukkot?
Well, the Mishnah itself is in the context of Tumah and confining the Tumah and has nothing to do with Sukkot at
Right.
all. But the
Even
way it's
before.
being applied to the Sukkah case is that it's only when you're doing this on Sukkot or before Sukkot.
Okay, I was going to metaphor would matter. I know there's no element here, it seems like a lishma. Right, but if you're doing it during Sukkot, it sounds like there would be an element of lishma because you're doing this to narrow the gap of that 20
Yeah,
foot.
that is what you're doing for Sukkos. Whether that needs to be Lishma, Lishem Sukkah, I don't think so.
Okay.
We're going to get into later on that a Sukkah doesn't have to be built Lishma. A Sukkah can be built Lishem Tzeel, but that's only the Schach part of the Sukkah. Everything else doesn't have to have any particular purpose or function. So the ground could be anything. Didn't have to be specifically Sukkos based. So it says here, what if you throw an afar? If you throw an afar, ve'asid lifnoso, and you explicitly intend to remove the afar sometime soon or as needed, so then harei hu kestam tevin ve'lo batil. So he makes the point as follows, that Rabbi Yossi holds that afar stam is considered part of the structure unless you kind of clearly intend to remove the afar, but tevin stam does not count as part of the structure unless you just don't particularly you plan to leave it there, although you aren't explicitly mevatel it there. And the Tanakhama holds that you have to be mevatel it there in both cases. Okay, so that's what it says, and that's the way this is plays out. And lehalacha, we hold in both cases you need to have das levatel. It says in Shofar. Okay, a new case. Haisa gevoa me esrim ama v'hutzin yordin b'soch chaf ama. Let's say you had your schach is too high. V'hutzin yordin b'soch chaf ama. But the way you have your schach, you have parts of the schach hang down low underneath what would be the 20 amma mark. So even though a lot of your schach is above 20 ammas, some of your schach is below 20 ammas. So what's the halacha in that case? So it says here, well, im tzila sam meruba mechama sam kshera. Well, if you have enough schach hanging down below, that rove of the space has schach there, so then that's the standard for schach coverage. And so if you have rove of the ceiling space has schach kasher there, then you have a kasher sukkah. V'im lav psula. But if you don't have that much schach hanging down below the 20 amma mark, then this schach is going to be pasul. That's pretty straightforward. I don't think that there will be any surprises there with that. It does, however, trigger, incidentally, in Tosas, a whole discussion about the Mamed Sugya. Mamed Sugya comes up every few dafen or so. You get into the discussion of, well, hold on a minute. This is sukkah. This is a sukkah where a lot of the schach is above 20 amos. Above 20 amos is pasul. If it's pasul, you treat it like it's shpudin shel barzel. It's like you have pasul schach up there on the ceiling. Then you have some schach is below 20 amos. If that's the case, so then what's holding up that schach? Well, that schach is being held up by all the schach above, which is pasul. So what you see from our Gemara is that even if the schach kasher is being held up by the schach pasul, that is kasher. That's what our Gemara seems to be saying. Just a thing to keep that in mind, because every few dafim you're going to get into the question of Ma'am Yid B'davar HaMekabel Tumah. So that's a just something Tosas raises that point over here, deals with the possible distinction between if it's holding it up or if it's just holding it so it doesn't fall off. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara goes on to say, what about in almost the opposite case of the minimum size sukkah? So it says like this, what happens if ha'isa gevoa yud fachim? So the rule with respect to the sukkah is that 20 amos is the maximum height for the kashrus of the sukkah. And what's the minimum height of the sukkah? The Mishnah says, the next line, it says, v'she'ena gevoa asar tfachim. That's puzzle. So you see from that first mission, the minimum height of a sukkah is yud tfachim. Yud tfachim is around 3 feet high. So that means that you have the floor, and then you have around 3 feet above it, you have your schach layer. So it says, what happens if the sukkah is appropriately at least 10 tfachim tall, but hutzin are yardim lesoch yud. Right? But I have some of the schach are actually hanging down into the space below 10 tefachim. So Abaye thought to say, like we would have said, that if it's a small amount, if it's just a small amount of schach hanging into the space that's under the 10 tefachim, kshera, the same way that when it was too high, if it's just a little bit of schach, we ignore it, and for purposes of, you know, that would be possible in that case, but maybe over here that would actually be kosher because I have that generally my schach is properly positioned above 10 tefachim, but some of the schach is hanging down into the space below 10 tefachim. So Abaye said, well, if it's not so much, no problem. But if it's so much, chamasa meruba, if it's tzilasa meruba, then that would be possible. So that's what Abaye figured. Amalei Rava, Rava said to him, no. Ha dira sruchahi, the anadam dar bedira srucha. Rava said, no, that'll be possible even if it's only some schach hanging into the space. Because why? Because it is too intrusive and it's not suitable to occupy that space, to live in that space. And so even though it's not that you have, you know, too much schach puzzle by virtue of it being below the ten tefach space, but the entire environment of this inside of that sukkah is puzzle for use. And so you're getting the following, that even though the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim, that could be explained now in two separate ways. One way is that you need to have mechitzos ksheros, which need to be 10 tefachim tall. And for those purposes, you have that. But the second consideration is that you also need to have a certain minimum livable space. And that's what you don't have when you have the hutzin yardim lesoch yutfachim. It's a dira srucha, meaning that this is a, it's an unacceptable space, living space. And even though sukkah is anyway a dira sarai, this is worse than dira sarai. Dira srucha is worse. What's the shear? What's the shear of intrusion? Like if you have decorations hanging, for example, is that going to ruin the dira? I don't know what the shear is. The possibility that if there's noi sukkah, if it's for yipui ha sukkah, it might be better. Also, hutzin of the schach are not noi sukkah, so it may matter. But I don't know what the parameters of the dira srucha are. We don't encounter this ever because we're never in a situation where the conditions are such that you don't even have 3 feet of usable space from the floor. The fact that the decorations might bother you when you're standing up and walking around, that's a luxury. Okay, now what happens if Haisa Gvoa may Esri Mama? Let's go back to the case. Rashi points out, incidentally, on the bottom of Amud Beis, Gimel Amud Beis, that we're about to encounter just a miscellaneous collection of statements of halacha that they had when they were putting together, when they were assembling the whole shas, you know, in Rabbi Nirvashi's time, that they found now a good opportunity to throw together all miscellaneous collection of halachos. So that's what we're doing here. So, Haisa Gavoa, it says in the Gemara, Nesri Mama. Ubanaba itztaba. So of course the plan, without lowering the schach, the plan is to raise the floor. So what happens if banaba itztaba? So they build, they raise the floor. They literally raise the floor. Keneged dofen emtza'i. But they don't do it all through the whole space of the sukkah. They only did it on a part of the sukkah. They raise the floor in part of the sukkah. So it says here, well, banaba itztaba, they built the platform. Essentially, they raised the floor. Keneged dofen emtza'i. Al pene kula. So the image that you have to have here is they show these diagrams. These are top-down diagrams. These are what's called floor plans. These are top-down diagrams of your sukkah. And they're imagining that your sukkah has three defanos shlemos. You have the dofen emtza'i and the two side defanos. And you get all three. That gives you the tzura of, in this case, from the top down, it's a, like a ches. So if they put the platform, which means they raised the floor, but not it didn't go all throughout the entire sukkah. It only went, let's say, along that middle wall from side to side. It says here, Banaba itzdaba kenegadofen emtsoy al pene kula v'yeshba hechsher sukkah. Now, what are the minimum dimensions of a sukkah? The minimum dimensions of a sukkah, you've seen in the previous daf, are zayin al zayin, what's called keneged rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. You need to have space to rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. That's 7 by 7 tfachim. 7 by 7 tfachim is, let's say, at least they have that much on this platform. So the floor, the raised floor space is at least 7 tfachim from the back wall there. And it goes at least 7 tfachim, you know, side to side. So now you have at least a kosher sukkah there, because you have, if you're standing on the platform, you are within 20 amos of the top. You have three walls surrounding you. You have your back, your wall on the, you know, the middle wall and the two side walls. So everything is good there. So what's the question? There's no question. Well, look what it says. It says, if this is kenegadofen emtsoy al pnei kula v'yesh b'hefsher sukkah kishera, it is kosher. Rashi says it is kosher even in the other part of the sukkah. Even in the part of the sukkah that's not on the platform, that's not on the elevated space. That is what the Shulchan Aruch holds, that the whole sukkah is kosher based on a principle that Rashi refers to on Daf Yutes, Pesel Hayotze Min HaSukkah. If I have a part of the sukkah that's kosher, and the schach goes beyond, let's say, where it would be kosher because the wall, I don't know, one of the side walls conks out, but the other wall just keeps going, and the schach keeps going with it, that is a Pesel Hayotze Min HaSukkah, is kosher. So Rashi uses that principle here to say that the whole sukkah is kosher, not just on the platform itself. What happens if the Min HaTzad? What if I built the Itztaba Min HaTzad? So the reason why this is more complicated than the Itztaba connected the middle wall is that a sukkah needs to have a floor, schach, and walls. The walls have to relate to the floor and to the schach. So if my itzdaba is on the side, it says, min atzad, im yesh misfaso itzdaba lekosel, dalet amas psula. So what does it say here in the Gemara? Pachas mayarba amas kishera. It's saying that if they built the platform, if they raised the ground, not all the way along the middle wall, but on the side wall, so here I am on my platform. I have one wall right next to me. I'm within 20 amos of the schach, so I'm good. And I have the other wall over there, but where's my third wall? My third wall is all the way over there. Now, does that wall relate to me? Maybe, but over that whole space, the schach is 20 amos tall. And so that whole wall doesn't go to the schach. My schach over me doesn't go to that wall. Does that matter? Does that matter?
In this scenario, you only have two walls that are shared.
So you only get two walls. Now we have a third wall. It's there, but it's going up to schach that's possible because it's too high over that space. But eventually, the schach comes kosher again over me. So this is what it says. So it says here that as long as that wall over there going up to the top is less than dalet amos away from me, over the ground space where it's more than 20 yamas to the schach, then my space is kosher. Why? The Gemara says it's based on the principle called Dofan Akuma. Dofan Akuma means that when the wall goes up to a ceiling that's pasul schach, but eventually the ceiling leads to kosher schach. So that means if I have schach pasul on the side near the wall, then the halacha is Dofan Akuma tells me I view the dofen to keep going up to the roof, and then it's now lateral. It's a horizontal piece of virtual wall that goes up to my kosher schach. As long as that's less than dalet amos of kind of virtual wall, then the sukkah is kosher, meaning then the schach relates to the whole wall over there, and it relates to me. So I'm viewing that wall as part of my schach, and my sukkah touches, my schach touches the wall, and it allows me to view my sukkah as being kosher. The schach relates to the walls, it relates to me. So dofen akuma, the principle that if I have schach pasul along the side, that whole schach pasul can be viewed as wall. It's not as kosher as schach, it's as wall. So Rashi points out that unlike the first case where the whole sukkah is kosher, in this case, that part is not going to be kosher. You can't be under that part because that part is relying on dofen akuma, which means I'm viewing the schach pasul up there as pasul. And so it's part of the wall. So I can't be there, but my spot where I am, that is going to be kosher.
But you're saying that schach, that's pasul, it's playing the role, so to speak.
It's playing the role of a dofen. Yeah.
And that's why it's another.
Right, that's why I can't be under it. It's not the same as Pesel Yotze, like what Rashi said in the other case. So the Gemara knows all of that on its own, and it says, Maika Mashmalan. Well, obviously, you can do that. The Gemara says, it says, Maika Mashmalan, the Amina Dofen Akuma Tanina. We already know from the Mishnayos later on, Yizayna, but Alf Bayasin, if Chas, Visichech al Gabav. If you have a situation where, let's say, I don't know, let's say you have your room, and then something fell through the middle of the roof of the room. So now you're looking up at your ceiling, and you have a big hole in your roof. So it's around Sukkot time, so you figure eventually it'll get repaired. But in the meantime, I'll just put schach over the hole, and now I'm in a kosher sukkah. So that's what it says. So that's kosher as long as there's less than dalet amos from the edge of the schach to the walls, to at least three of the walls. So it says, "My kamashman tanina." We already know from the Mishnah that bayashenev chas v'sikei chalgab v'em yeshmena kosel v'lesikoch dalet amos psula box mikan k'sheira. So Gemara says, "Well, now it is same." And knowing that Mishnah doesn't necessarily tell me this rule here. I have reason to think that maybe in this case, with the schach pasul by virtue of more than 20 yamas tall, that would not be. You can't say necessarily dofen akuma in this case. What's the havamina? I don't entirely know exactly what the havamina was and why in the wall case. With the hole in the roof, that would count. You say dofen akuma, and in this case, you might not be able to say dofen akuma. It's not chazi ledofen, it says. I'm not exactly so sure I understand it. The fact that it's 20 yamas tall, so maybe that would mess it up. So kamash melan, that not necessarily. I will point out, incidentally, that some poskim say that it depends how high up that itzdeba is. If the itzdeba is too high, it may actually ruin things, but I don't think the Shulchan Aruch holds that way. Okay, Haisa Gavoa Mechafama. Let's say a new case. Let's say the schach is too high again. It's more than 20 amas tall. Ubana Itzdaba. So now I'm going to fix the problem by elevating the floor. Where did I elevate the floor? Not along the middle wall, not along the side wall, but literally in the center of the room. In the center of the room. So another way to visualize this is, don't visualize this as being a room at all. Just visualize this like this. I'm able to suspend the schach up there on a structure that's supported by, I don't know, buildings or frames or telephone poles or whatever, I have schach up there. I have no walls at all. But I... No, we're going to get to my case afterwards. This case is the straightforward case, same as before. I have three walls, I have kashrus sukkah, whatever I build.
Put them in the middle.
Yeah, tables. Tables may not work because tables are like the pillows from before, is that it's not really part of the structure and it's not really necessarily something that you would consider to be the floor. You consider this to be a table. So I would need something else. So that's why they're talking about really building an actual floor. So let's say, okay, not what I just said. I was thinking ahead. This one is, I built my platform in the middle of the room, middle, away from all the sides. Away from all the sides. So now it says here, well, so what the halacha, what should the halacha be in this case? The halacha is pretty straightforward, exactly what we now would imagine. Im yesh meisfaso itzdeba v'ladofen arba amos l'chalurach psula pachas meyarba amos k'sheira. If I'm within dalet amos to each of the sides that I need, so then I dofen akuma all the different sides. And so as long as I'm able to identify myself, the schach within 20 amos of where my floor space is, and my three walls, then that's kosher. That's kosher. As long as I can get my walls, dofen akumet over to my schach. So then I'm okay. The Gemara says, isn't that the same thing we just said 1 second ago? The Gemara says, no, because maybe, what does it say? My kamash v'lamdi aminan dofen akuma. We just said that. I know, ha. That was the previous case. Mar says, no, ma'ud esayim adofen akuma miruach echad aminan v'al kol ruach v'ruach lo. No, maybe I might have thought that I can't keep using dofen akuma for the whole thing. Maybe I can only use it for one wall. For one wall. So kamash v'lamdi that I can use dofen akuma for more than one wall. This leads a lot of Rishonim to wonder, is that true about all the other halachal Moshe Sinai's? We're going to be seeing throughout this the first half of the Masechta when we talk about the sukkah structure that you can use a lot of virtual mechitzos, halachos that allow kind of a virtual reality to the different parts of the sukkah. So one of them is dofen akuma. You can view the schach pasel as if it's dofen. It's a virtual wall. So that is a kula. That's called one of the halachos from Sinai's of the kulas of sukkah. So some of the Rishonim wonder, can I combine? Can I use multiple halachos from Sinai's? Can I use multiple kulas? And it's not obvious what the answer to that question is. It's not obvious. You may not be able to use, for example, they refer to this case. What happens if I have my schach near my schach pasul? So we said my schach pasul on the side is dofen akuma. Well, what happens if there's a gap between the schach pasul and my kosher schach? Well, gaps in the sukkah don't bother us because there's a principle of lavud. Lavud means that as long as my gaps are small, within gimel tefachim, so then I close up the gaps and I have a solid sheet of whatever the thing is that I need it to be. Well, lavud and dofen akuma are different halachas. Can I use lavud to the dofen akuma? Can I have a gap near the edge of my schach next to the schach pasul that I'm using as dofen akuma? That's not obvious what the answer to that question is. So many are makel on that, but you could avoid it by just making sure you overlap. You have your schach actually on the schach pasul that's going over the side, so you don't have to rely on lavud. It's not obvious. So that was like the havamina here. Maybe I don't get to say dofen akuma more than once. Maybe I can't use multiple kulas like that. So the answer was I can. But I can because it's the same halacha l'mishmisenei. It's dofen akuma in more than one space, in more than one side. But maybe that doesn't automatically permit me to use other halacha l'mishmisenei. So that's a question. Okay, let's work on another structural problem. My schach is too low, and I want to fix the problem rather than raising the schach, but by digging down. So in the same way that I was raising the floor in the previous cases, I want to now lower the floor below the ground level. So I want to dig down into the ground and thereby have enough space for me to be in my sukkah so that I have at least 10 tefachim between that ground space and the actual sukkah. Now, there's no question over here when I'm digging down whether I count the ground from the level of the ground. I do. The ground is still going to be the ground. So what's the question? So here's the question. The Gemara says the following. If I'm digging down, it depends how far from the existing walls that are above the above ground walls. The above ground walls are only, I don't know, 7 tefachim above the ground. So the schach is suspended 7 tefachim over the ground, and there are those defanos on the side. So where did I dig? Where did I dig my basement that I'm going to be in? I dug the basement up against the defanos on the side. So now from the position of my little basement position over there, I have 10 tefachim mechitzo. So I'm good. But what if I didn't do that? What if I dug in? So now I have like 3 or 4 tefachim's worth of basement wall. And then there's the ground. And then the 7 tefachim of side wall above it. Do I get to make a 10 tefach tall mechitza out of segments, out of a 4 tefach segment, and then laterally displaced a 7 tefach vertical segment? Is that a valid mechitza? That's what this question is. It's like if you could kind of imagine that, let's say I need, you know, wide staircase. I need the staircase with a solid, the steps are solid and filled in. So I'm getting, there are treads and there are risers. And so if I add up all the risers, I get a good height of at least 10 tefachim. But every segment is displaced from the previous segment. So it's saying over here the following. You have to be careful. You have to make sure that your segments are not displaced at least 3 tefachim. If it's displaced more than 3 tefachim, then I don't get to assemble my wall that way. And I can't use then the wall or my little basement that I've dug into my little space.
Because it's not a straight wall.
Because I have 2 part walls on each side.
You have one wall here, and the second wall is like here.
Yeah. And from my side, even though it's true that I see wall everywhere I look, but I don't get a single piece called a dofen. Mm-hmm. So that's the Gemara's ruling. That's what it says. And therefore, when it comes to staircases, the treaders are what? Around 11, 12 inches or so of tread on a staircase? That's possibly more than Gimel Tzvachim.
8 and 1/4.
That's the riser, but not the tread. So the tread is like 11, 12. So it'll probably be more than Gimel Tefachim. So I would not necessarily be able, in case it comes up, to use a staircase to build a dofen for the side of a sukkah. That's what it's saying over here. It's not the same as Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, you don't have this requirement. You can assemble a mechitza out of spaces that are more. That's the whole thing on the side. The Tosas makes a comment about that it doesn't necessarily relate. A lot of these halachos relate to mechitzas with respect to Shabbos. And Shabbos, by Rishus HaYachid, is made by putting up mechitzos around a space. And you get a Rishus HaYachid. Those mechitzos are going to have a lot of similarity to these mechitzas. They have to be 10 tefachim tall and that kind of a thing. And but some of these virtual mechitza types are going to work for Shabbos and not for Sukkah. For Sukkah, there are a couple of additional chumras. So this is an example of one. We're going to see more on this Amud Beis. Let's take a look. Mar asks, well, that's not fair. Ma'ishna hasam di amrit pachas midalat amis, and ma'ishna hacha di amrit pachas mishloshet tvachim. Why can your platform be within dalat amis of the wall, but why does this basement have to be within kimel tvachim of the wall? Gemara answers, hasam di isa l'dofen. Over there, I have the fanos. I have the structure of the dofen. All I need to do is relate it to my space, and Dalet Amis works for that. But over here, I'm trying to make a dofen. So that requires pachas megimel tefachim in ilo lo. And the Gemara says, what happens if haisa gevoa me esrim ama? Let's say my schach is too high off the ground. Ubana ba'amud. So to solve the problem, I build an amud. What do? I build a pillar, meaning what's the concept? What did I build? Essentially the same as what I built before, the Itztaba case, but in this case, I made it filled in, solid, with vertical walls on the sides. How is that different from the platform? Well, the platform is different. That was a stage. That's not the same. It's hollow underneath, and there are no sides. It's just a platform. But over here, I'm building, I'm making myself, I don't know, like out of solid blocks, and I've raised the floor, but now I actually have sides. I have sides so that if I'm walking around my structure, my middle structure, I'm seeing there are actually solid sides all around. So they would count on their own as mechitzos. Why would they count as mechitzos? Because they're at least 10 tefachim tall. I built at least 10 tefach tall amud, which means I'm not relying on the defanos that exist out there on the side. I'm only relying on my own defanos of the amud. So you're getting the concept? The concept essentially is, let's imagine there's no enclosure. There's no enclosure at all. I'm just building myself an amud, a tail, in the middle of the ground, and there's chach above, and I want, as my defanos, I want the sides of the amud to count as my defanos. What's the havamina that would work at all? Well, the havamina is that Hilchus Shabbos, that does work. That makes the Rishus HaYachid. If I have a tail in a Rishus HaRabim, that's at least the dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid, and tall enough, and at least Dalet al-Dalet, and it has sides. If I place something on it, that's called Hanacha and Rishus HaYachid. Now, that means that even though there's no enclosure, but the sides get to be perceived as virtual mechitzas for the top. The principle is called good asik mechitza. That means pull and raise the side mechitzas up as far as necessary, as far as necessary. And so if you are on top of a space where there are sides that are at least 10 tefachim tall, what we do is, since these count as defanos for down here on the bottom, I can stretch them up, and it's as if thy space on top is surrounded by virtual mechitzos. That's the concept of what's called the tail or the amud. And that's what we're asking. Can I do that for sukkah too?
That's so like your classic, forget leaving the height aside.
Yeah.
Your telephone poles, the string, they're the amudim.
Well, yes and no. This amud is not posts or poles. This amud that we're talking about is a large...
Like a gush? Like a block?
It's a large, you know, if only I could kind of imagine, it is a stage, but it's a stage that's solid and filled in on the sides. A tall stage that's filled in on the sides so that the people down below are seeing solid, you know, solid surface on the sides of the stage, but the people on top of the stage are looking out over an open space. Know that down below on the size of the stage, there's at least 10 tefachim of mechitzos for the bottom level, and I want that to apply to the top to enclose my top virtually.
Oh, okay.
That's the concept of a tail or an amud. That's the principle of good asik mechitza. The principle of good asik mechitza does apply to sukkahs. It does apply to a sukkah. Meaning what? Meaning if my schach, let's say, is suspended high above my side walls. This happens sometimes. Doesn't have to be that high, but whatever it is, it's high. I have a frame that holds up my schach, and I have side defanos that go up halfway or three quarters of the way, but it doesn't touch the schach. Is that a problem? So the halacha is, no, it's not a problem, because good asik mechitza. Because you're allowed to stretch the side mechitzos to reach the schach, so it's as if I have a connection between my schach and my defanos. That's the rule of good asik. So we're going to use it here to not just extend the existing defanos, but to create defanos from them from the bottom. That's what we're asking. So it says here, if Haisa Gvoa may Esrim Amma Bana Ba Amud Shehu Gvoa Asar Tvachim V'yesh Ba Hechsher Sukkah. Savra Abaye. Abaye thought, Lemimer, good Asik Mechitzta. Abaye thought to say, fine, that's kosher. Just like it is for Shabbos, it's kosher for Sukkah too. Amalei Rava. Rava said, wrong. Ba'ina Mechitzos Nikaros V'leka. Wrong. It's not enough, and for Sukkah, that's kosher. For Shabbos, it's kosher as Mechitzos, so it'll count as Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But for Sukkah, I need something there that's Mechitzos Nikaros. I need recognizable, perceptible Mechitzos. They can't just be virtual. They can't be virtual Mechitzos. Now, interestingly, Tosfos make a comment that, look, there are a lot of different types of virtual Mechitzos out there. When I say a lot, you know, I mean, I don't know, five. There are about five different types of virtual mechitzos. So some of them we're going to see here on this daf. One we've seen, the good asik mechitza type of a tail, of an amud. And we're going to see a couple more and more. So let's just say, some of these virtual mechitzos will satisfy the mechitza nikeres requirement, and some won't. And so you can't just say we need physical, tangible mechitzos, because we will actually permit sometimes virtual mechitzas. Like I said before, is that you can actually do good asik on a mechitza as long as you had an existing mechitza to start from, an existing dofen to start from, not just the underside of the stage. all right. And what Mitch brought up about the Erev around the community being built from what's called Tzuras HaPesachs, if I make my sukkah out of Tzuras HaPesachs, and I therefore have virtual full enclosure of the space. So the lacha is that is not going to be kosher for a sukkah. I can't just make my sukkah out of Tzuras HaPesachs. Mm-hmm. We're going to discover on Daf Vav, you know, that the Tzuras HaPesach has a role, and that you might even have to depend upon it for a part of the sukkah. But you can't make the entire sukkah out of Tzuras HaPesachs. So the same type of a restriction, that I can't make my sukkah out of virtual mechitzos, but I can make parts of it out of virtual mechitzos. Tan Rabbanan, and we're going to see another version of this now. Noatz arba kundisin v'sikech al gabehen. Okay, what if I took four posts? These kundisin are posts, and I stuck the posts into the ground, and I put a frame and I put the schach on top, and I want to have that count as my sukkah. Where's my defanos? Well, there's an obscure halacha with respect to Ilchus Shabbos that runs as follows. That if I have a well, a bor, a be'er, and people are coming, visitors are coming, and I want to, for the purposes of the people or the travelers, I want to enclose the space so I'm able to put up what's called pasin for the bor. Pase bira'os. Pasin are corners, corner boards. I could just put up corner boards in the four corners in a space around this board. That's what it says. And as long as I have just the small dimensions of one amma by one amma on the corners, the whole middle can be open. That's called enclosed. That makes a virtual mechitza in the middle. So if I have that over here, we're going to see that Rabbi Yaakov machshir. Rabbi Yaakov holds that makes the kosher a sukkah, and he only requires one tefach. One tefach on the corners. So this is a virtual sukkah, meaning a sukkah built from virtual mechitzos of what's called pasin. Or the other word for pasin are called diumadin. Diumadin, literally two amudin on each corner makes pasin. And he says, if I took four posts whose minimum dimensions are at least such that I would have a tefach by tefach, so that would be, I don't know, 6x6s. Okay, these are big posts. There's 6x6s on the corners that are of the minimum dimensions. They hold up the schach. Rabbi Yaakov say that's kosher. And Chachamim poslim. The Chachamim don't accept Yumadin for a sukkah. We're going to pass like Chachamim against Rabbi Yaakov. So now we're going to say this machlokes about the Yumadin, the pasin, or the kundisin. These are all three different words of exactly the same concept, which is, can I make my virtual mechitzos out of the corners? Rabbi Yaakov Machshir. Amar Rav Huna the Amora. Rav Huna the Amora says, Machlokas is asfas hagag. Now, Machlokas, Rabbi Yaakov is only allowing this if I built this not on the ground, but I built this on a building where I can good asik the sides of the building. So I'm not relying on the pasin. I'm relying on the building sides. And Tosus right away points out over here, even though 2 seconds ago we said you can't do that for the amud, so how could I rely on the building sides for these purposes? Tosus say it depends. If it's a solid amud, I can't. But if it's an empty inside of the room, of the house, of the space, then I would be able to because those walls are actual real walls for the people in the building. So Rabbi Yaakov might allow you to do a good asik on them. And therefore, that's where Rav Huna the Amora thinks that that's what's going on. The Rav Yaakov Savar Amir and Gorasi Mechitzta, Ravan and Savri Lo Amir and Gorasi Mechitzta, Velbiyem Tahagag. But if you're not using the walls of the building, you put your 4 posts away from the sides, Divriya called Psula. Everybody would concede that that is Pasul, which means that Rav Huna thinks that Rav Yaakov was only Machshir because of Gorasik, not because of Dumadin. And Rav Nachman on Rabbi Yemza got machlokas. Rav Nachman said, wrong, the machlokas is about the diumadin, where I'm not relying on the sides of the house, of the building. And now the Gemara says, incidentally, what did Rav Nachman think about Gurasik? Iboy lehu b'yemza got machlokas of Allah s'fasa got divriya kol k'shero, dil medvei mizu be mizu machlokas, teku. The Gemara says, we're not sure exactly what Rav Nachman thought would be the din of Gurasik on the building sides. That happens to be 2 opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, incidentally, and we try to be machmir about that. Meisvei, the Gemara asks the Braisa, Noatz dalid kundinsin ba'aretz v'sikech al gabehen, Rabbi Yaakov Machshir, the Chachamim Poslim, there you go. So there's a Braisa that it says clearly that we're not talking about buildings at all. We're talking about the open field, and you stuck 4 posts on it, which means Rabbi Yaakov, who says Kasher, is saying Kasher based on the Dumadin argument, not based on the building Gurasik argument. So you see, the Haaretz the Kemtze Gagdam, Ivekad Machshir Rabbi Yaakov. Yes, Tiyufta de Rav Huna Tiyufta, right. Rav Huna's interpretation of Yaakov that he thinks that has to do with Gurasik on the buildings is wrong. And Rabbi Yaakov, the Tana, Rabbi Yaakov holds that you can use Dumadin for a sukkah. That's what he holds. We happen to not hold like him, Lahalacha. We don't allow Dumadin for the kashrus of a sukkah. The Yod, B'yemtzahu de Pligi. It sounds also from the fact that the case is given as the field case that everybody would concede to the sides of the building. This is a very weak diuk. The Gemara says, Lema tehevi tifta de Rav Huna betarti. Maybe we can show that Rav Huna was wrong also with respect to his claim that if the poster on the corner is holding up the frame of the sach, but you're relying on the building itself to gurasik mechitzas up to the top of the roof, that you see, maybe everybody would agree that's kosher. Rav Huna said that was a machlokes. A malach Rav Huna. Rav Huna would say that no, it's a separate issue. Pligi b'yemtza hagag about dumadin, the huadin al sfas hagag with respect to gurasik on the building walls. Right, so we're not sure. So the idea of Ligi Biemza, Lodicha Kochad Rabbi Yaakov, the Fila Biemza Gagnami Machshir. So we can't prove. So at this point, the Gemara is saying there's a machlokas Rabbi Yaakov the Tana against Chachamim about the Dumadin case. Tan Rabbanan, we're going to see it again. Noatz Arboa Kundisin Barz Vesichech Al Gab Ban. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rowan Kol Sheilu Yichakaku Vyichalku Vyesh Bahan Tefach Lekan Vtefach Lekan Nidon Mishum Dumid. The Yimlav ain't a donamishim diumid. Shai Rabbi Yaakov Omer diumid de sukkah tefach. So what happens if I have 4 posts on the corners and I want to make them as my schach and I put schach on top and I want that to be my sukkah? Rabbi Yaakov says if you could theoretically carve out of each post such that I can end up with exterior perpendicular vertical standing 1x1 tefach corners, then it's kosher. Because Rabbi Yaakov holds that I just need 1 tefach for the diumids, for each of the diumidin on the corners. And the chachamim hold, adshiu shtayim kel chasam, b'shlishis afilu tefach. The chachamim hold, you can't use diumidin at all. I need to have full walls. How many? 2 kel chasam, 2 perpendicular, b'shlishis afilu tefach. And a third one, even a tefach's worth, somewhere, and when we get to the Mishnah later on, the next 2 dafim or so, we'll get into this principle. But the point is, Chachamim deny the validity, the kashrus, of the Dumadin for a sukkah. So even though Hilchas Shabbos has this concept, of the Diumadin, the Pase Biros, these Kundisin, the dimensions are a little different anyway. But we don't tolerate that for Sukkah because the requirements for Sukkah require more substantial and more tangible mechitzos. Okay, let's stop here.
Okay.